You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Sunny day in eastern Iowa. And why not? Coincides with the first round of the Masters. Not as warm as it is in Augusta, Georgia, but we'll take it as we're on our way up here. Great to have you with us. It is the Gym Class here at KGYM for this Thursday. Scott Unash with you from our studios in the southwest side. Mark joining me from his home on the southwest side on the back porch. Isaac on the other side of the glass. We are presented during the 3 o'clock hour each and every day by DuPaco Community Credit Union, celebrating their 75th year of operation. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. A lot to get to. We'll talk college basketball one final time with Coach Kevin Lehman, another big name going into the transfer portal, as you heard at the top of the hour on the ESPN Sports Center updates. And boy, that was a shocker, as we'll talk with Kevin about the championship games for both the men and the women, and look ahead to 23-24 as far as the college basketball realm and landscape is concerned. And of course, it is the first round of the Masters. We'll talk about that on the program today with you as well. 319-366-1600, that is the text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. That is our phone number as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone, give us a call. Of course, talk with Isaac first, and that is 319-366-1600. As we come your way here in Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. As Mark joins me on a sunny Thursday on the back porch here today. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and everyone. And yeah, very pleasant day. Not quite as pleasant as Augusta, but we're going to take it. And by the way, nothing wrong with me. I just wanted to work while I, excuse me, watch the Masters.
The things to do.
Isn't really work, is it? It's just a little conversation between friends.
There you go. Hello, friends, as a matter of fact. Out there, a little nod to Jim Nance. And plenty to discuss as far as the Masters in the first round, as far as what is happening today. And we will do that here on the program today. And again, if you'd like to chime in, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And a lot of people with master pools out there that have those through work or whatever the case may be, as as Ralph does, our friend Ralph from Riverside, who is lamenting the fact that Will Zalatoris had to withdraw today. Two withdrawals from the Masters in day one. So we're down to 86 golfers. Low 50 in ties will make the weekend. Whether that is going to be on Saturday morning, that remains to be seen, as the weather is scheduled to move in about noontime tomorrow. It's supposed to be, temperature-wise, not too bad, but the wind is going to be up, and then the rainstorms are going to be moving in. Front coming in, going to be rainy and very cold, master-wise, on Saturday. Temperatures about 52 degrees, and that is it for Saturday. And in fact, a few rain drops falling on Augusta National right now as we take a peek at things. Yes, Will Zalatoris had to pull out. He is still having back issues. And man, the rookie of the year from 2021, who set a blazing start to his career, Mark, there are a lot of people thinking that Will Zalatoris, they're kind of fearing for his career right now, because you have a two-disc back surgery. That's tough. I mean, that's Tiger had a one-disc back surgery. This is a two-disc back surgery for Will Zalatoris, and he's not the biggest guy in the world, and puts a lot of torque on that back and on that body. They're hoping he can come back. Kevin Na also had to withdraw. He's one of the LIV Tour members. he was under the weather today.
Yeah, and a tough go of it for Zalatoris, who, by all looks, it seemed like he was going to be the next breakout star only a couple years ago. But he did suffer those injuries and apparently a recurrence of those. Unfortunate, because I thought, you know, he might be rounding into form a little bit. But Kevin Na, I think, started, but then pulled out because of illness.
Yeah, he played nine holes. He was the first one off. He was in a twosome today with 2003 champion Mike Weir, who the Canadian, the lefty, is on the Champions Tour now. And so Mike Weir had to play the final nine solo today and did it in record time, apparently, in the back nine. Now, if there are an odd number of players for the weekend, there is a member at Augusta National, and it's a new member this year. It was a member who was a very good player. They're all very good players for the most part, but this player turned 59 and decided to not be the marker this year. So there is a new marker. So if there is an odd number, they will go out and play. That's not a bad gig if you can get it, Mark.
No, I'll be a marker. That's a person who plays with the pro and doesn't keep score, right?
Well, they can keep score, but it doesn't matter what they shoot. They can keep score in their own mind, right?
Exactly.
Doesn't count as...
Star-studded leaderboard right now, and you have your favorites. I have mine, but right now, Victor Hovland and John Rahm share the lead. They are done for the day. 7-under par, 65. Cameron Young, rising star, at 5-under, along with Brooks Koepka. He's got a look about him today, Scott. Sam Burns, a guy who's really hot these days. But so many others up there on the leaderboard. Shane Lowry, Xander Schauffele, Adam Scott, Joaquin Niemann, U.S. Amateur Champion Sam Bennett having a good go of it at 4-under, and so many more. Scotty Scheffler only through 9, but he's minus 3, the defending champ, along with Jordan Spieth. So I'll let you break the news on Tiger Woods.
Tiger went out early today and wasn't sharp. He just wasn't sharp. And again, the situation where you only play a handful of times a year against the world's best, I think, again, showed and just did not have the distance control with the putting. Irons were a little bit off. Ended up shooting a 2-over par 74 today, and that puts him right now in 55th position. As I mentioned, low 15 ties will make the weekend. And so right now, if you hit it on the number, if they get 50, they're only going to be, 36 that do not make the cut for the weekend. And so he's got his work cut out, because since the injury, the car accident, Tiger's best rounds have been usually the first round. And with the scoring conditions the way they are, it is absolutely perfect at Augusta today, Mark. It is warm. There is no wind. It is a little bit softer than usual. You can't get a better day to score. And the pros are certainly doing that today, as right now, 30 of the 86 golfers in the tournament are under par at Augusta National.
Yeah, I have a feeling late tee time today, early tee time tomorrow could be advantageous. One of those players that fall into that group is Cedar Rapidi and Zach Johnson, the 2007 champion. Going along okay. He is through 12 holes. On the front, he had a birdie and a bogey, even par. Birdied the 10th. Suffered a double bogey on the 11th when he hit a second shot right of the green and kind of struggled to get it in the hole. But he took 6 there, narrowly missed a birdie on 12, and now playing the remodeled 13th. Zach, plus 1 on the day. You'd like to see him get maybe a couple more birdies. There are gettable holes out there. 2 par 5s and really easy 16th hole, it seems like.
Yeah, 16 has got a very easy pin today. And like we said, this is the optimum scoring conditions that Augusta is going to have during the week, because as we mentioned, sounds like noontime tomorrow is when they're expecting the rain to start to move in, and it's going to be much windier tomorrow, and scores, therefore, are going to go up. And right now, Rory McIlroy, a lot of people's favorite. I thought he was going to do well, still might. He is plus one through eight. Interestingly enough, CBS just talked to McIlroy as he was going down or up the eighth fairway. I was kind of wondering if Augusta National was going to take part in that new golf broadcasting tradition this year of talking with a golfer as they make their way up one of the holes of the 18. I didn't know if Augusta was going to go for that or not, but they did, so good for them. And right now, Rory McIlroy is at plus one. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. If you'd like to weigh in about the Masters or just sports in general, again, that is 319-366-1600. John Rahm, 7-under mark. He started with a 4 wiggle. We've all done it on the first hole, and with a double after 4 putting the first green. He went 9-under in the last 17 holes, and 9-under is the course record, 63. It's been done several times, and he would have had it, unfortunately, if it wasn't for that little gaff on the first green.
Pretty strong rebound for Rahm, stating the obvious, I guess, 9-under through 17 holes. But it's going to be a stampede, I think. I mentioned Koepka. He is through 15 holes at 5-under par. And this guy he's on the live tour now. I get it. It doesn't matter. He's got a thing about majors. And I think he's going to be in the mix throughout.
That was what I was kind of wondering about today. How were the live tour players going to be presented? So far, Mark, in the coverage, it has been very fair, very equitable. You would have never known that the LIV players are not members of the PGA Tour anymore. Of course, this is not a PGA Tour event. This is run by the Masters. So it is their own entity, and they made their own decision. And for this year anyway, we'll see what happens in 2024 and beyond. But for this year, if you are qualified to be in the field for the Masters, you are in the field for the Masters. That includes guys like Brooks Koepka, Joaquin Niemann, just down the line. Cameron Smith, who finished with a birdie on 18 and minus two. I tip my hat to everybody because they're not letting this controversy throughout the week and today get in the way of the 87th Masters Tournament. I know the LIV folks, Greg Norman, etc., wanted all the LIV players to wear their insignias of their LIV teams. Some are, lot aren't. Brooks Koepka looks exactly like he did when he was winning 4 majors in a span of 2 years with his Nike gear out there. Cam Smith retained just about all of his sponsorships when he was on the PGA Tour. You would never know today that he was a member of LIV. Now Phil Mickelson, on the other hand, is adorned head to toe with his insignias of his team on LIV, and some others are like that as well. But so far, anyway, it's been very, very normal, if you would, Mark.
I would say it's been fairly amicable between the PGA players and the LIV players. And let's face it, these guys have many of these guys have a long history of competing against one another. Some are friends. Some of the PGA players don't like the fact that some of their friends jump ship. But at the end of the day, it's golf. And from what I've seen and heard, it's been, amicable, accepting on the part of both. And we'll see if that holds true the rest of the week. So, I mean, It just comes down to golf right now, right? I mean,
yeah, it does. It does. And, you know, like I said, who knows what's going to happen in the future? I think in 2023 at the Masters, the Open Championship has already said they are going to allow the LIV players. I'm still not 100% sure what's happening as far as the PGA next month at Oak Hill is concerned. And, of course, the U.S. Open sounds like they're going to have LIV players in there as well. What's going to happen in 2024? Who knows? Because one of the qualifying standards for the Masters is, what, top 50 on the world golf rankings. A lot of these guys are in the top 50, but they're losing. They're going backwards because they're not getting any points right now. So this could be the last time that you see a lot of these golfers, unless something changes.
Yeah, and Chairman Fred Ridley said a day or two ago that they're going to continue to use the official world golf rankings in terms of qualification, one of the qualifications to get into the Masters. So that presents difficulty for the LIV players.
It does. It does, unless you win the Masters this year. Now, is this going to continue through the weekend? We'll see. If it comes down to Brooks Koepka, John Rahm showdown on Sunday, sign me up for that, Mark. Sign me up for it.
Totally.
But
no question.
But how is that going to play out? How is that going to play out? Both on television as far as on the grounds at Augusta National is concerned. 319.
Maybe the media and fans are making too much of this. What do you think? I mean, just by judging by what I've seen and heard so far, I would lean towards the fans and the media are making too much of it.
Tell us what you think at 319-366-1600. Is that the case? Is the national media making too much of this? Or the world media? Who knows? I kind of compare this, Mark, to, and if you are an aficionado of auto racing, especially open wheel IndyCar racing, this happened back in the CART IRL split. And there is so much that is alike between this golf split and that auto racing split because they would come together for one race, the Indianapolis 500, after a couple of years. LIV is ahead of that as far as getting together with the PGA Tour. They never had to sit out. Many of the big name teams did not get to go to the Indianapolis 500 for a handful of years. Started to inch their way back, and it was kind of a different vibe. And it's a different vibe for this. We talked to Brian Haas yesterday on Caddy Smack, and if you missed that, you can go back and listen to it on our podcast, kgymradio.com, or Apple or Spotify. I'm not going to say uneasy. It's just different. It's just different because you're seeing, you know, a lot of sponsorships lost by those auto racing teams. A lot of sponsorships are lost by the golfers on the LIV Tour. And here they are, kind of like the way it was, but it's not the way it was, if you follow me.
Yeah, I do. And my opinion is that if this was not a Saudi-funded tour, we wouldn't be talking about it, I don't think. It'd be like the CART in Indy. It'd be like the AFL and the NFL, so to speak. It's because of the Saudi backing, what Saudi's treatment of it, its people and others, has gotten under the skin of many people. I understand that. I'd like somebody to figure out how many sponsors on the PGA Tour do business with the Saudis. How about that?
Yeah, and there are a few. Cyclone Tim, this is our world now. Always has to be drama. If there's no drama, you make your own drama. Drama sells. I agree. I would agree. I have no problem with it. I like to see the best golfers in the world at the best tournaments. And I think golf fans would like to see that as well, Mark.
Yeah, I think so. 0835, as I see it, almost like two divisions why not have the top 10 in each of the LIV and PGA at the end of the season and have the top golf champion?
More money for everybody.
It will require tremendous cooperation. It'll be fun.
Ed, hey, sign me up for that in, what, October or November, right?
You know, the Zach Johnson, the Ryder Cup camp champion for the next event in Rome, and the international, is it Patrick Harrington who's the captain for the internationals?
I believe so, yes.
Remember, they're going to be hamstrung. I mean, the internationals aren't going to be able to have Cam Smith, and Jack's not going to be able to have Dustin Johnson and others. So that's going to impact the international events as well, I think.
It is. Yep. And Zach's already talked about that. And no decision has been made as of yet if LIV Tour players are going to be allowed to be on the United States or international team for the Ryder Cup coming up later on in Italy, I believe, this year toward the fall. 319-366-1600. So there's your golf. We'll keep you updated on what is happening right now. Victor Hovland and John Rahm. 65s today, 7 under par at Augusta National on a great day for scoring. They have a two-shot lead over Cameron Young. Brooks Koepka on the course right now, along with Sam Burns. They are minus 5. We're going to throw it to you, Mark, for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, online at emilshideaway.com. They're open at 4 o'clock on Monday through Saturday. Stop on by. Tell them thank you for presenting the gym class.
On the Major League scoreboard today, such as it is, 4 games postponed due to weather. Miami at the Mets, Cincinnati at Philadelphia, the New York Yankees at Baltimore, and the Twins home opener against Houston. That was previously announced. The opener will be tomorrow. One final on the books. Boston has defeated Detroit 6-3. In progress. Shut your ears, Scott.
Oh, I heard.
San Francisco up 10-3 on the White Sox in the seventh inning. Toronto leading Kansas City 6-3 in the eighth. And Washington and Colorado scoreless in the second. It was announced yesterday that Iowa's spring practice will be held April 22nd, 10:45 a.m. at Kinnick Stadium. Iowa target Josh Cohen, a 6'10 forward out of St. Francis, Pennsylvania, made his college choice today out of the transfer portal. He picked UMass. No surprise, he visited there earlier. Cedar Rapids Colonels open their Midwest League season tonight at Peoria. And we didn't get to many scoreboard items yesterday, but we want to acknowledge the passing of Tony Mader, who died recently at the age of 51. He was diagnosed with dementia in 2017. Tony was an all-star with the Cedar Rapids Ball Club in 1994, also played here in 1995. Got to know him a bit. Know his wife, Kathy, pretty well. And just a terrific guy. He produced kids that excelled at Xavier. And want to extend our thoughts to the Mader family.
Yeah, indeed. And got to cover Mary Kate last year, and a member of the state championship basketball team for Xavier. And yeah, what a terrific family, and we wish them the best in their tough time that they're going through right now. And, tough situation right there for all of them. Department of Corrections, Mark, Luke Donald is the captain for the international team. Well, the Euros, the European team. Great Britain and Europe.
Thanks for the correction. I appreciate that. It is Luke Donald.
It is Luke Donald. The Northwestern Wildcat, Luke Donald, former Big Ten Player of the Year in golf back in the day, former number one as well. All right, 3:30. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk one final time at least on a weekly basis with the coach, Kevin Lehman. It is our Off the Glass segment. We'll wrap up the college basketball season, and we'll do that when we return after this here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have plenty of sunshine today with temperatures in the low 50s. It will be a little cool and a little breezy at times. Then later on tonight, the winds calm down and temperatures drop into the upper 20s. Tomorrow will be sunny once again with some warmer air moving in. Temperatures will be in the low 60s. Then we'll be in the mid 60s on Saturday with upper 60s for Easter Sunday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Compost is great for your garden and a fantastic way to give your lawn a healthy lift. And it's free at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. You can also use compost around trees and shrubs and cover them with a layer of wood chips, which are also free at the Solid Waste Agency. Get your yard and garden in shape. If you're a Linn County resident, pick up free compost and wood chips at the Solid Waste Agency location next to Mount Trashmore. Get hours and all the details at solidwasteagency.org.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
Tomorrow's our garbage day, so the leaf vacuum will be around too.
Leaves just go in your yardie cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay, they'll be picking up through April 28th on garbage day. You got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Oh, I didn't get the message.
Get the message. Go to crnewsnow.com.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer, and under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email julie at kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
3:32, back with you in the Gym Class on KGYM. Scott and Mark with you. Isaac on the other side of the glass running the ship here today as we enjoy the first round of the Masters. Going to talk some college hoops with you. One final weekly time with Kevin Lehman coming up in just a moment. Ralph says the LIV Tour players knew what they were getting into when they joined. Now they're crying because they aren't getting paid and getting their way. I think it should be are getting paid and getting their way. Well, anyway, personally wish the PGA would have been able to retain the players, but now it's a messy situation for all parties. It is. With that being said, I'd love to see the best players play in these majors, but if you are a LIV player, and I think this is fair and equitable down the line here in the next couple of years after they're out of the top 50 in the world golf rankings, et cetera, if they can qualify for the Open Championship, for the U.S. Open, whatever the case may be, I don't know what the PGA is going to do, but at least for the U.S. Open and the Open Championship, Mark, in Britain, if they can go through sectional qualifying and whatever qualifying, I say so be it, right?
I suppose, but, I mean, you're talking about a Koepka or a DeChambeau or, you know, pick a name, Mickelson, who's never won the Open Championship, having to go through the stages of qualifying. That's weird, man.
Hey, how would you like to be going to the first tee? Hey, Brooks Koepka, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It would be a little bit different, but I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I guess enjoy this tournament and enjoy this year if it's going to be a happy melting pot, because we might not see it for a while. What we saw on Monday night was the men's national championship game, the culmination of the 2022-2023 men's college basketball year. And talk about that and all things hoops. Kevin Lehman joining us here on our Off the Glass segment on a Thursday here on KGYM. And how you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing good. Scott and Mark, a little bit of withdrawals this week as Monday into the basketball season. Talking about golf and baseball now, guys, but I tell you, that was a great week in the basketball between the women's tournament and the men's tournament. Certainly had a lot of action and a lot to talk about, follow-up, especially on the women's side.
Well, let's start there. And I guess your thoughts, we've talked enough about the officiating, probably way too much about everything on the court afterwards, as far as trash talking or not trash talking or whatever the case may be. I guess your thoughts on a second place finish for the Iowa women and just the championship for LSU.
Well, I think Iowa women, they are the talk of the nation right now. And I told you about my bracket. You know, I got beat by two women that don't know the difference between Zach Edey and Zach Johnson. But they do know who Caitlin Clark is, and they know who Angel Reese is, and they know who Kim Mulkey is. They may not know who Zach Edey is. I think this has really been a great, even the controversy has helped the women's basketball. Fantastic event. Got it on, you know, on a national network on Sunday afternoon. I thought it was just a perfect scenario. And the coaching job that Lisa Bluder did, especially against South Carolina with those junk defenses, they had no answer for that. And unfortunately, against LSU, because Angel Reese picked up that foul, it brought that girl off the bench. Jasmine Carson, that went crazy on him. If Angel Reese hadn't picked up that foul, that game might have been different.
Hey, Kevin, not to douse water on the women's game, because I think it's terrific, and I hope it continues. But I wonder if it's, you know, the popularity is sustainable, because Caitlin Clark's going to go away in a year or two. You're always going to have your stars. Reese is going to go away. You're going to have Paige Beckers next year, but she's going to go away. And then you had the lousy matchups, in some people's mind anyway, in the men's Final Four. So maybe it was just a perfect storm this year. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think the personalities were on the women's side. We did not have not one McDonald's All-American playing in the Final Four on the men's side. So all that attention was going to the personalities of the women. They certainly took advantage of that situation because, you know, we have the White House invite for the second place team. We had that going on. We had the You Can't See Me Now on the women's side. I thought it was really interesting, and it piqued the interest of a lot of people in the country. So, Mark, I think this is sustainable. I think it's a great product that the women put out there. And I found that out, as I told you, the Paradise Jam, the last 5 or 6 years I've stayed and done the women's tournament, I've fallen in love with that game. I love the quarter system. I think the men have to go to that. I don't know why they do not. The ability to advance the ball at the end of the game, I think, is fantastic. In some respects, in those aspects, they're way ahead of the men's game. But I think if you go back, you look at the men's game, with UCLA had that domination for a while. We had Duke. We saw that with UConn on the women's side. South Carolina has their streak ended by Iowa. I think it's going to go in cycles, but I think this has put the women's game on the map, and that interest is going to continue.
Well, out there somewhere is somebody who's going to, I don't know, break records. Because if Caitlin Clark stays for 5 years, no one's going to break those records down in Iowa City or maybe in the national landscape here. But there's somewhere out there, a four-year-old, that's going to be a great basketball player. So what does women's basketball have to do to keep this going? To keep it going. I mean, we've had great players before. We had Cheryl Swoops, go down the line. Cheryl Miller, go back to Nancy Lieberman. There have been great players. Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi. We have Caitlin Clark right now. And, you know, not that superstar is always going to be there and always going to be in the Final Four, but it was this year. And now, like I said, not only the Iowa women have to sustain it, but I think women's basketball as a whole, looking to take what they have right now and push it forward.
Well, if you look at the men, I got a release today. The Big East, Big 12 schedule has already been announced. You've got Connecticut at Kansas. You've got Texas at Marquette. I think the women's side has to do those marquee matchups in November and December to get their attention back on that product that they have. I'd say let's put LSU and Iowa on a battleship like we do with Michigan State and let them get that type of fanfare. I think they need to keep marketing, but they need those marquee matchups earlier. And here's one of the things about the Paradise Jam. That's predetermined classic, so they know who they're going to play because they don't want to avoid playing those other top 10 teams in these tournaments like the men do. I think the women have to be able to accept that and go forth and start playing those marquee games early to keep the attention on this product that they've, you know, it's caught the nation's attention right now. I'm listening to Talk Sports here all morning. They're still talking about this Iowa-LSU game.
I wonder if you'd analyze the men's championship game and the championship run by UConn, Kevin. It came in as, what, a 3 or 4 seed and just didn't have a problem in the tournament per se. Dan Hurley did a great job, had a good mix of bigs and guards. Can you analyze what UConn did?
Well, I tell you what I was really liked about them is their bench strength, because we've got Sanago playing lights out, and then he bring in the 7'2" guy, Dunham, and Klingon. That really, I looked, he played like 12 minutes. I thought the guy was on the court so much longer. And he just wore you down with size. And I tell you what I liked about what UConn, they didn't use all the ball screens that we're seeing most of the men's team use. We're actually starting to see it more in the women's game now, too. They run a lot of the, you know, staggered single screens off the baseline to get their shooters open. I thought that was a refreshing change. And big question mark, were they underseeded, the UConn Huskies? Based on that stretch they had in January, they struggled. I don't think so. It's a team that lost to St. John's at home. I just think, Mark, it sits back what we talked about before. You've got those COVID years. Two more years of the extra year of COVID. San Diego State, an older team. UConn's got some older guys. I just think we're going to see this for the next year or two because of the age that you can put out there and the experience with some of these older teams. And, you know, Florida Atlantic was another team that had older players on it. And we know, guys, you got 22, 23-year-olds going against 18 and 19-year-olds. That's a huge, huge advantage for that older team.
Florida Atlantic, if they choose to stay, has their entire starting lineup back. I've seen them as high as 5th in the way too early top 25s for next year. Now, in this day and age, are they all going to stay there? We'll see. But Florida Atlantic going to the AAC next year could be another big player. Hey, one guy into the portal today, Ryan Nemhard, the point guard from Creighton. That just shocks me. Because Creighton had a chance to be a really, really top 10 team next year, and I don't think anybody saw him going into the portal.
Well, that is a shock to me, too, Scott. I wouldn't expect that. That seemed like a very close-knit group that Greg and Bill put together over there, and a relatively young team. I don't know if the big guy is going to go into the NBA draft and test the waters there or not. But you know what? They've already I think they've already gone portal shopping over there at Creighton, as a lot of teams are going to do. And I don't think you can really do a way too early top 25 until August, because you don't know what people are going to have on their teams because of what's going to happen here in the transfer portal in the next couple months. Already over 1,200 in this portal.
How early is too early for a top 25? I mean, I've been on a rant for years in football. I don't want one until October 1. In basketball, I really don't want one until maybe December 1 or the turn of the year. What say you?
Well, what would that give us to talk about in November? Mark, if we
there is that, Kevin.
Because you know the thing is, this is media-driven, those early top 25s. They keep coming out early and early. And I tell you what, now as a broadcaster, you got a whole separate column of where they transferred from, and sometimes you need 2 or 3 columns to keep track of where these schools that these guys have been, their previous school column. And that's why I do that Valley tour. It was amazing this fall when I went around the Valley schools, all the new players that were transferring in from other schools, even at that mid-major level. I mean, all new, a lot of teams with a lot of new rosters. And you look at this Northern Iowa team that's trying to build the old way by keeping guys in, you know, redshirting players and keeping them for 5 years. We've talked about this before. Is that going to be a model that's sustainable for Ben Jacobson at Northern Iowa? And they're starting to look pretty good. Now, it's the Valley preseason poll because of the amount of players that are leaving other programs in the Valley.
Kevin Lehman joining us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. A couple things to talk about before we get to the teams here in the state of Iowa. Number one, coaching carousel. It's really small because it is kind of taken care of itself. We've had a couple coaches leave, but then coaches moving up. The NIT guys have moved up into bigger and better positions, I guess. Just not a lot of jobs open right now.
It's been a strange year that way. 11 in the major conferences, only 11 changes. In the Big Ten, only one with Micah Shrewsbury going to Notre Dame and Mike Rhodes from VCU taking over that Penn State job. Big 12, Rodney Terry was there almost the whole year also as the interim. And then you mentioned Grant McCaslin from Texas, North Texas, going into Texas Tech. I tell you what, guys, this if you look at the coaching tree out of Baylor, that thing is growing. You've got the coach at Kansas State. Now you've got Grant McCaslin going to Texas Tech. Scott Drew's putting together quite an extensive coaching tree, and they're having a lot of success. But in the Valley, you've got one opening in Valpo. That's been pretty quiet in who they're going to hire. But, ACC with the three teams. Here's a question for you guys. Are we going to see more coaches leave coaching earlier? Jim Boeheim finally gave up this year in his 70s, but because of what you're dealing with, like name, image, likeness, transfer portal, because I heard him on a pot at the Final Four where he said, I just didn't want to do this anymore. There's just too many moving parts. So I'm wondering how long these coaches are going to stick around.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. And I don't blame Jim. I don't blame him one bit right there. How about expansion of the NCAA? And I don't want to sound like I'm, whatever the case may be, but it's going to happen in the men's first before it's going to happen in the women's. I think we're going to see 96 sooner than later.
So do I, Scott. And here's what I'm wondering. Can they do this where you play those extra, and I'm going to count those playing games we have now. Can you play 16 games on Tuesday and Wednesday, keep those teams at the same site and let them play again on that weekend so they don't have to travel in between? I think if they can do that model, this thing could work and we could still keep it in that three-week window. That's made it, it's a great sporting event. It goes on for 3 weeks, and it's not like it's the best of seven. It's not the ideal way to pick a champion in a sport as we've seen, but it certainly has captured the entire nation on the interest, because everybody's got a pool. Everybody's got a bracket that they're filling out and teams that they're following throughout that whole entire three-week period.
Along those lines, Kevin, I don't think there's ever been a perfect system for selecting the field of 68 or whatever it may be. You think the net continues? Is there ever going to be a perfect system?
Well, we've gone away from the eye test, which I think is unfortunate because I think that was a big factor, because you can tell what teams are worthy and playing well. And I don't see the net going away because it's benefited these major conference teams so much. And I'm hearing from my people that run these NTE tournaments earlier, that run them in November, those Thanksgiving tournaments or pre-Thanksgiving tournaments. They're having a harder time getting matchups for mid-majors because these major conference teams don't want to even face them in those neutral court events now. So that I'm not a big fan of net because I just think it's too concrete. But they're talking about using Sagarin and those other ones that are used when they put this field together. I tell you, it's an impossible task, though, guys, to field or to seed 68 teams. It's just too many moving parts. So that committee gets criticized every year, but I don't think there's any way you can do that job even close to perfect.
Conference USA showed that the little guy deserves to be in there as well this year. How about I was looking at the portal. We know that. Looking for a big. Evan Bronze has not been officially welcomed in, but it sounds like he is going to be here. Do you anticipate Iowa maybe going after anybody else besides one of the bigs out there?
I think with Ulis leaving, they have to go and try to find an older point guard in the portal. I mean, don't you, that seems to be a natural thing that they've got to bolster those two positions, that five spot and that point guard spot. And I mentioned, you know, you've got the COVID years, two more years of that. Look at what Connor McCaffrey brought to this team because of his age and experience. That's great proof that experience and old guys win games for you. I think the Hawks really have to dive into that. We'll see if Evan Bronze, if they add him, if they go and add some additional strength up front. Because I kind of like what I'm seeing on the wings with back to McCaffrey coming back and Sanford, shooters like that. I think they got enough power there. They just got to get better point guard play and some size inside.
How about Iowa State? I'm not even sure who's back for has a chance for a sixth year. I know they had seven people go through senior night. I know Gabe Kalischer's not back. We know that for Iowa State. They've got Omaha Billion coming in. I think he's going to be a real eye popper right away for Iowa State. He's that good.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of portal movement there, too, because they got that great recruiting class of freshmen. But I think they need some older guys with some experience. And I'm with you. I'm not sure who's all coming back. We know Cameron Lipsey at that point guard position, a guy they can build around there. But other than that, they've got a lot of youth on that roster. So I look for T.J. Osterberger to get in that portal again. And he's done a pretty good job of it. You know, his selection, ability to select those guys that fit in that system that he has been somewhat schemeless here in his first 2 years as Iowa State coach. So I'm looking for them to do that again. And I'm trying to find my roster sheet as we're talking, Scott, because I had the same question mark. I even texted the SID. I said, okay, which guys are gone for sure and which are coming back? I never heard back from Ryan, the SID at Iowa State.
He's watching Cubs games.
He may not know either.
And finally, Drake's going to look a ton different next year. We know that. UNI is going to have one of the more veteran teams, I think, in the Valley.
Oh, no question. With Duax, Bourne coming back, Campbell. And then they added the center from Loyola, a guy they recruited out of high school. It's going to come in and give him some size in front, up front. And I was really happy to see a lot of talk about will Darren DeVries being swayed to a bigger school, that he stuck around with his son. And I think what Drake's doing over there, guys, I don't know if you've seen the arena. They've redid the lower bowl at the Knapp Center. They're going to put, I think, $6 million in the upper bowl with a bar, restaurant area. They're really investing in that product there on Forest Avenue at Drake. So I look for them to be, for Darren DeVries to stick around and build this, keep this program going at a high level that it's reached.
All right. Great stuff. Always fun talking with you. We enjoyed the basketball season. And even though we won't talk with you now on a weekly basis, we'll check in from time to time with you, man.
Well, anything big pops, guys, we'll have to talk about it. I certainly appreciate this season. It was a lot of fun being on with you and Mark, and look forward to doing it again next season.
It'll be here before you know it, man.
I know it. It does come fast, doesn't it?
It does. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, guys, have a good one, and get those golf clubs shined up.
It's time to play. You betcha. Kevin Lehman, the coach, in our Off the Glass segment here on KGYM. We'll take a quick break and come back, and we will talk about what happened on the lanes last night with Bowling Night in America right after this.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
And it was a Wednesday, and with a Bowling Night in America wrap-up, we bring it to you courtesy of May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Another successful evening for the Rusty Nails.
Yeah, that's two in a row. How about that? The Rusty Nails take down Grill Works 22-8. I'm not sure either team bowled all that terrific, but nevertheless, we'll take it. 22 out of 30 points. We stay in seventh place in the Adult Evergreen League, but within striking distance of things even better.
Indeed. Yeah, it was a weird night. It was a tough pattern night last night. But, hey, we had fun.
Not for Ryan Bundy. He rolled a perfect game, 300, his third of the season in the Evergreen League. I know he's had others in other leagues. He had a 750 series, topped only by Marcus Smits with a 758. Those guys had no problem.
No, but they're a lot better than we are. at least me. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about our entire team. I'm talking about me. but we had a great time with Matt and Buzz and Warren and the rest of the guys last night.
Indeed. Season is short, only a few weeks left. But Mays City Bowl continues to operate through the summer months. Please inquire about leagues, instruction, equipment, whatever it may be, open bowling. Give Mays City a bowl a call, 362-0136. Plenty of information at the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Before we head out today, it's still Victor Hovland and John Rahm on top. 7-under par 65s at the Masters. Brooks Koepka playing 18 right now with a chance to tie. He is at 6-under par. Cameron Young at 5-under par. Everybody going low right now. 35, almost half of the field under par at Augusta National today. Zach Johnson plus one, Mark, is that correct?
He is plus one, facing a birdie putt on the par 5. 15th. He's in pretty good shape.
Tiger Woods, if you missed it, plus two today. He is tied for 54th. NBA basketball coming up tonight at 6 o'clock. And the Todd Bromwell Camp Show from 4 until 6 next right here on KGYM. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back tomorrow with you at 3.
Wendy's $3 breakfast deal is a bacon or sausage egg croissant plus small seasoned potatoes for $3. It's the breakfast that don't miss. So if you did miss Wendy's breakfast, don't imagine. Fresh cracked eggs, sizzling sausage, crispy bacon, and blackout.